Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker is Dr. Bob Wood, Executive Vice President Emeritus of BJU. The title of his message is Spiritual Vision for Supernatural Victory. The text is from 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 8 through 23.
Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to 2 Kings chapter 6. Just a moment, I'll be reading you verse 8 through verse 23. I'd like to read you a statement out of the November 25th edition of the Wall Street Journal in the financial section that talked about investments in America today. Here's what they say. Trust has so evaporated from the world's largest economy that there's not really much left for us to lose. It's an interesting statement. As we look at this, we look at history, and from a historical standpoint, America has about reached the end of the life expectancy of a republic. Yet the average American probably has very little insight as to what's happening in this country. Primarily because there are two ways to look at things. There's man's way, which is normal and natural. And there's God's way, which is supernatural. And that's what I want to talk to you this morning. I want to talk about spiritual vision for supernatural victory. This passage in 2 Kings is an interesting story. A story about Ben-Hadad, who had set a trap for Jehoram and his followers. He often did this. There was war between Syria and Israel. There was always war. And here he found out that each time he set a trap, somehow or another, Jehoram knew about it. So he called all of his people together and he said, "Now who is it in our group here that's on Israel's side and not on our side?" And they said, "It's none of us. We're all on your side." And then one of the minions of the king came back and said, "Well, we found out what the problem is. It's Elisha, the man of God. Every time we set a trap for him, God shows it to him. He tells Jehoram, and we fail." And the king said, "This has got to stop. Find out where Elisha is." They found that he was in Dothan. He said, "All right, I'll send an army, chariots, horsemen down there. We will arrest him, bring him back here. He'll be under our control. And then we'll be able to be victorious in this battle." But something very interesting happened in this story that reveals a simple truth to us. The truth that we as Christians have the availability of God's omniscient sight through His Word and through His principles. And when that happens, you can't lose to the enemies of God. Let me read you the great lessons found in this chapter, starting 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8. "The king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, 'In such a place shall be my camp.' And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, 'Beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Assyrians are come down.' And the king of Israel sent to the place where the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there, not once, but twice. Therefore the men of the king of Syria were sore troubled for this thing. He called his servants and said to them, 'Will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel?' And one of his servants said, 'None, my lord. But, O king, Elijah, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber.' And he said, 'Go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him.' And it was told to him, saying, 'Behold, He's in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servants of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a camp compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, "Alas, my master, how shall we do? Or what shall we do? A whole army is against us." And he answered, "Fear not, for they that be with us is more than them that be with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open the eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and of chariots of fire round about Elisha. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed and to the Lord and said, "Smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness." And he spoke them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. And Elisha said unto them, "This is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me. I'll bring you to the man whom you seek." But he led them to Samaria. And it came to pass, when they were come to Samaria, that Elijah said, "Lord, open the eyes of these men, that they might see." And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. And the king of Israel said unto Elisha, when he saw them, "My father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them?" And he answered, "Thou shalt not smite them. Wouldest thou smite those whom thou hast taken captive with the sword and with the bow? Set bread and water before them, that they may eat and drink and go to their master." And he prepared great provisions for them. And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away. And they went to their master, so that the band of Syria came no more unto the land of Israel. We so often overlook the fact that God is omniscient. He sees everything. He knows everything. As God's children, the Christian has the ability to go to their Father, take His principles, listen to the Holy Spirit that dwells in their heart, and know things that the normal man can't know. As I was thinking about praying for you during Christmas time when you go home, I know what it's like, young people. There are things that you're very concerned about. What kind of job will you have? What are the problems within the family? What about this boy or this girl? And these things consume our thoughts. But what about the spiritual circumstances around us? What about the nation in which we live, which is in one of the greatest financial difficulties it's ever found itself? A nation which is no longer the world leader in all financial matters, but is kind of an also-run nation with great problems. A nation that's turning to a government to bail out private business so that businesses are being taken over and financed by the government. All for the idea of greed. Keep it going. Keep it going. Where are all these billions of dollars of bailout money coming from? Well, all the government's got to do is buy the paper. They've got the printing presses. So they run the paper through the printing presses and they make money. And as they make more and more money without a gold standard, without anything to back it up, that money becomes less and less valuable in the world market. So that inflation takes place. The course we're on is not new to the world. It's a course that many nations have taken in the past. The problems of the future are almost insurmountable. Then what, as Christians, can we do about this? First of all, we need to see this from a spiritual perspective. Verse 9 through 11 teaches us a great principle. It teaches us that spiritual eyes are omniscient. Three times in this passage, Elisha is called the man of God. In the Hebrew, it literally says, "God's man." Are you God's man? Are you God's person? You know you're born again. You know you walk with God. You know you have His Spirit in your heart. You have the Word of God in your hand. You have everything you need to get through this life. But is that really the most important thing to you? Are you caught up in the cares of this world and distracted from this truth? The eyes of God. I never will forget an experience I had very shortly after I came to Christ. I was a young man, 23 years old when I was saved. I had some friends who were Jehovah's Witnesses. I thought that was all right. I knew Jehovah was God, and witnessing for God sounded like a good thing to do. When they heard I'd become a Christian, they invited me over to their house for dinner. And they said, "We want to talk to you." Now, you think that you're saved. You think you're going to heaven, but you can't know that yet. And they got out their New World Translation of the Holy Scriptures, and we began to talk about the Bible. Frankly, I didn't know anything about it. I knew one verse, John 3:16. I learned that in Sunday school as a little boy. But we talked all night long as they presented their religion to me. I didn't know enough intellectually to refute what they were saying, but in my spirit, God would say, "That's not true. Don't follow that. That's not true." I have two Jehovah's Witness friends to thank for leading me into Bible study. Because I left there the next morning, I said, "Lord, I'm never going to get in a situation again where I have to sit and talk to people that know so much more about your word than I do." God will protect you with eyes of omniscience, warnings from God when we know something is wrong. The Holy Spirit will give us a sense of this is not right. This is not the way to go. This is not the right answer. It's really interesting to me that multi-million dollar companies can create financial statements with creative accounting that make people think they're good investments. And people are just shocked when you hear that multi-billion dollar, as a matter of fact, $3 trillion companies have gone bankrupt. Did that happen overnight? Did that happen in 24 hours? No, that happened over a long period of time of dishonesty and false reports and making people believe things that are not true. And the only protection you have in this world from untrue things being told to you every day by people that are greedy is the omniscient eyes of God, as the Holy Spirit of God warns you about these problems. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust until the day of punishment." So wisdom also comes from God. We know what to do about it. We're told very clearly in the Scripture in Daniel chapter 2, verse 22. "He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what's in the darkness, and the light dwelleth in him." Do you really want to know the truth? To know the truth is going to require something from you. It's going to require that you respond to that truth. Do you really want the wisdom of God? It's in this book. And if you're born again, it's in you because the Spirit of God dwells in you. There is no reason for Christians to be so gullible. There's no reason for Christians to look around this world and wonder, how could this happen? What's happened? This is the normal course of man. To do things for himself. To get things for himself. To lie. To be dishonest. You have to have protection of that, my friends. You have to know the truth. But you don't just have to recognize the truth and realize the truth. You've got to apply it. If you don't apply the true principles of this book, then you're just looking with men's eyes. And with men's eyes, it doesn't look very good right now. The society in which you live is crumbling about your ears with all these trials of men to find a way to shore it up. The other thing that eyes of omniscience bring is worry to our enemies. Verse 11 in this passage of Scripture is an interesting verse. "Therefore the heart of the king of the Syrians was sore troubled for this thing. He called his servants and he said unto them," who is the traitor? When God speaks, wicked men become extremely distraught, extremely angry. You see that on every hand today. You see lawsuits against Christians. You hear of freedom of speech in this nation. And anyone has a freedom to speak except Christians. For our society has tried to legislate God out of this society, out of the public school system. And you're inundated daily with things of the world. Well, Isaiah 48:22, there is no peace, saith the Lord, for the wicked. They're not at peace. I think of Peter when he was in prison, about to die, sentenced to capital punishment. And when God sent two angels to free him, he was asleep. At absolute peace. Well, wicked men don't know peace. They have an insatiable desire for greed or physical pleasure or narcotics or alcohol, but they're not at peace. Isaiah 59:8, the way of peace they know not. There's no judgment in the goings. They have made themselves crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. A state of mental tranquility. If you choose the course of the natural man, even though you're a Christian, you can choose the course of the natural man. There will be no peace in your life. You'll not find joy and happiness and be at peace with the God that created you and knows you and loves you. Second thing I see in this passage that I think is really, really exciting. Verse 15 through 17, the servant's eyes are open. Now, here's this young man with Elisha. He's obviously a man that believes in the Lord. He's with the man of God. He's servant to the man of God. Here are basically, in New Testament, we call them two Christians. One of them is seeing with the eyes of omniscience. One of them is seeing with the eyes of the world, even though he's a man of God in all probability. And he says to Elisha, what are we going to do? We're surrounded with a whole army. And Elisha prays a simple prayer. Lord, open his eyes in verse 17. Open his eyes that he might see. What a revelation that was. How exciting that would have been to be there. As this young man looked around and said, there's no hope for us. It's the end. We're surrounded with an army, chariots and horses and swordsmen. We can't get away, just me and this old prophet. And Elisha said, God, would you let him see what I see? And around the top of the mountains, around that small valley, are encamped the troops of God, the chariots of fire, the chariots of God. The angels, the soldiers of God. And they're all there for the protection of Elisha. And no matter how big an army Ben-Hadad has, no matter how well they're supplied, they can't win. Wouldn't it have been amazing if God had opened their eyes? But he opened the eyes of the servant first. They learned some simple lessons. First of all, they learned that seeing is not believing. You don't have to see something to believe it. That's a worldly philosophy. You don't see the wind, you see the results of it. But you know there's wind out there. Much of what happens to us in life, we don't see. We don't see the law of gravity. But jump off of a high building, you'll see it. You'll understand it. It's there. It's one of God's laws. It's always working. So you see, we've got to believe things that we don't physically see. Things that God has said to us. Things that God has told us. And in the end, it will all be proven true. John 20:29, Jesus saith to him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. But blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. You can trust God. You don't have to see. You just have to believe. You have to trust the truth of the Word of God. And that's hard for us as men to do unless we really see God as He is and understand God as this book describes Him. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. While we look not on the things which are seen, but on the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Can you see eternal things? I'm afraid too many Christians today are looking with the eyes of men. They see everything is temporal. They don't see eternity. They don't realize that their actions today set their course for tomorrow and what happens to them tomorrow. Moses, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 27, by faith Abraham forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Do you see God? Because secondly, when the eyes of the servant is opened, he realizes safety is from the Lord. That's interesting. The latter part of verse 17, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. What a revelation to this young man. What a revelation to this young Christian. My prayer for you at Christmas time is that God will open your spiritual eyes and you'll see the truth of this book and you'll see the truth of the direction of the world in which you live. And the people with whom you associate daily, and you'll understand the reason for giving them the truth of the gospel. For they have no hope. We do have hope. 2 Chronicles 16:9, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro about the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of those whose heart is perfect or mature toward him. Psalm 34:7, the angel of the Lord encamps around about them that fear him, and he delivereth them. These are great promises. But as men, these promises just kind of fly by over our head. We don't recognize them. We don't realize them. We're not excited about them. Psalm 152:2, as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people. For henceforth and forever and ever, God is with his people. Not only the eyes of omniscience, the arms of omnipotence are with God's people. If we could only recognize that our God has placed the power of his omnipotence in our hands to use in a spiritual manner in our lives, why then should we be defeated? Why should we be so downhearted? Why should we get so discouraged? It's easy as a Christian to look around and be discouraged at the world. Well, this young man learned something else when his eyes were opened and he saw all those troops of God. He learned that sudden changes are common. A long time ago when I was in Bible college, I had an Old Testament professor who used to tell us, as you read through the Bible, look for sudden changes. You'll find many of them. You'll find the children of Israel standing at the edge of the Red Sea with the chariots of Pharaoh behind them. And to them, all is lost. And Moses says, stop and see the salvation of the Lord. And they stopped. And he lifted his staff. And the sea dried. And the children of Israel marched across the dry land. And then God had to say to him on the other side, stop, turn around and see, for this enemy that follows you today, you'll see no more forever. And when he released the waters of the Red Sea, they overflowed the chariots of the Egyptians. Sudden changes. One minute they're complaining, they're angry, they're discouraged. And the next minute they're on top of the world because they've seen the power of an omnipotent God. Have you seen that? Have you felt that? Do you know that's available to you as a Christian? You need to be seeing through the eyes of God, not through the eyes of this world. Exodus 14:13. That's where God tells us how quick changes come. As the priest stood by the Jordan River crossing into the promised land. The Bible says when the sole of the feet of the priest touched the brim of the water, the river dried up all of a sudden. Over and over again, when the people marched around Jericho the seventh day and they shouted, the walls fell. All of a sudden change came. God is in the business of making sudden changes to those that believe in Him, to those that trust in Him. Well, when there was nothing else that Elijah and his servant could do but trust God, the blessings of God came. And it's one of the most powerful passages in the Old Testament. The other thing I see in this passage, verse 18 through 23, the soldiers' eyes are obscured. They can't see. Here's this mighty army, all the modern military equipment, the chariots, the horses, the armor, everything they need to fight a battle except God. Two men, a young man and an old prophet, with the power of God, took this entire army captive. That's the demonstration of God's power. When God exhibits His power, wicked, strong men are humbled. Every time I read this passage, I think about an incident that happened a number of years ago when my oldest son was in five-year kindergarten. I was driving across the campus one day, and I saw all of the kindergarten kids going somewhere from the nursery, and the teacher had a rope. You've probably seen that. And everybody had hold of the rope. And you were safe as long as you held on to the rope, and they were going across campus to whatever their predetermined destination was. And I can just see all these soldiers, as Elisha says to them, line up. I know you can't see, but I'm going to take you to where you ought to be. Get a hold of the rope. Get in line. How humble those soldiers must have felt. They were there for a war, but they're not getting a war. They're getting led by God. Proverbs 29:23, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. These are biblical promises. These promises are to all of us who are born again. You know, Josephus had an interesting statement. He's the old historian of the Jewish people that kept very complicated records of everything that happened historically in Israel. Here's what Josephus wrote about this. Accordingly, when these soldiers were freed from the obscurity they'd been in, they saw themselves in the midst of their enemies. And as Syrians were strangely amazed and depressed, as was but reasonable, at an action that was so divine and so surprising to them. Would you like to see some actions of God that are so divine you can't misunderstand it, and so surprising? When these soldiers got their sight back, they were standing in the middle of their enemies. And one of the representatives of the armies of Israel said to Elijah, should we kill them? He said, no, let's show them mercy because this is God's way. Here's a demonstration of God's provisions. He said, get some food. Let's feed them. They're hungry. They've been out for a long battle. They've marched a long way. So they, as God does, prepared a table before them. They looked for a fight, but they found food because God supplied even their enemies with this food. And then there was a great demonstration of God's pardon, returning good for evil. Elisha said, we fed them, now let them go. When I get to heaven, I really want to see what happened when those soldiers got home. I want to see the reaction of Ben-Hadad when they said, Well, we were ready. We were camped in the right place. Elisha was there. And all of a sudden, the next thing we know, we were blind. And then he said, get in line, get a hold of this rope. I'll take you where you ought to be. And he could have killed us. But he didn't kill us. He freed us and he said, go home to your families. That's God's way. I wonder how those men felt about God now. I wonder how they felt about the man of God now. They didn't lose their lives. They got a new respect for the man of God. Think about this forgiveness. Jesus in the garden when the soldiers were trying to take him. Peter took a sword, cut the ear of a soldier off. The Lord Jesus just put the ear back on and healed him. Stephen, when he was being stoned. And Paul was holding the coats of those who were trying to stamp out God's people. Here's what Stephen said in Acts 7:60. He kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had thus said, he fell asleep. David's forgiveness to Saul, Moses' forgiveness to Miriam. This is God's way. This is God's way of teaching truth to wicked people and bringing them back into that truth. As you leave here, as you go home to meet many lost people, as you go home to listen to the stories about the tragedies in our nation, how will you see it? As men see it or as God sees it? Every nation of men that's ever claimed to be God's men have had to be brought back to a spiritual vision by God. My friends, I believe our God is bringing us back to a spiritual vision in this nation. Will you see? Will you have spiritual vision that brings supernatural victory in your life? You can have it. It's in this book, and it's up to you.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was Dr. Bob Wood, Executive Vice President Emeritus of BJU. For a cassette or compact disc copy of today's message, send a check for $6 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.